When we think about endangered artifacts, I'm guessing that the mind typically tends towards the sites of ancient great civilizations, but that's not to say that Pennsylvania isn't in some way a great ancient civilization, but that's not what this project is about.
This project is really about bringing attention to the history of the state of Pennsylvania and also some of the sort of unsung treasures across the state, and just raising people's consciousness about the need to take care of these materials.
Are we talking about things like documents that are in the basements of museums and, I don't know, one of the curators is aware that it's there and that it's not in great condition and that it is a valuable piece of the history of the state?
Sure, we're certainly talking about those kinds of materials, but I'm even thinking about things that perhaps just have a wonderful story. It might be something like, I'm thinking of us working on materials for Ellis Island, the Immigration Museum, and working on passports. And at the time that they were issued, these were just legal documents. But now they've taken on a very important meaning beyond what their original use and intent was. So I think that there may be artifacts out there that just have a wonderful history, a wonderful story, and that might be just as exciting as something that has a George Washington signature on it.
So in terms of what these actual artifacts are, give us some of the parameters. Would a piece of public art be considered an artifact, or would it be a Native American arrowhead?
All of those things would qualify under our criteria. We're looking for things, paintings, decorative arts objects, pieces of furniture, sculpture, works of art on paper, manuscripts, a rare book, a photo album. All of those things could qualify.
You were telling a story earlier on before we started recording about a woman who walked in here with a wheelie suitcase that was full of Rembrandt etchings. That doesn't happen every day. Is that likely to... I mean, it's not of Pennsylvania origin. Does it necessarily have to be of Pennsylvania origin, or does it have to be something that just happens to be in the state?
It doesn't necessarily have to be of Pennsylvania origin. I think just if it's here in a collecting institution's collection, then it qualifies.
And private collectors?
Not private collectors, unfortunately.
They tend to know what they have.
They tend to know what they have, but not always. Not always. I mean, we've had instances where people have brought things in and not necessarily realize the value of what they owned.
And even institutionally, we just a few moments ago walked past the original Constitution of Pennsylvania, which had been fixed into something, I mean, quite a high-class album, but nonetheless, the pages had been glued onto backing and put into this leather-bound album, and you have to undo that now. So why would something like that happen? Is that, if you hadn't gotten to that, would that have been in danger?
Over time, I would say yes, it would be endangered, because the paper that these pages are adhered to are not the best quality paper. And one of the artifacts was, we had talked about it being silked, and silk is also acidic, and that also needs to be removed. So over time, yes, it would start to deteriorate further. So our goal will be to undo some of those old repairs and use more compatible materials so that we can assure its longevity for at least another 100 years.
Where do you expect these things to come from? Small historical societies or big museums? When you set out on this project, were you thinking, I don't know, in the wilds of Lancaster County, there's a small historical society, and in the basement there is a, I don't know, a book collection, or there is a particular document that is of importance, either nationally or locally?
We are really thinking very broadly. We would love to have representation from the smallest all-volunteer institution if they have something really wonderful that they want to share. We're also looking for geographic reach. We would love to have people nominate artifacts from all over the state. So, in effect, we really don't want just the large institutions to participate. We would like this to be something that is much more equal. And also, I think to heighten the attention of some of these smaller institutions and some of the amazing things that they have and that they care for with not a lot of resources.
And then the top 10 will come in here and have some conservation work done on them. Is that the idea?
The top 10 will raise money. We are going to help these institutions using social media raise money for those artifacts. And some of those artifacts will not be paper-based. So if they're paper-based, perhaps they'll come to us. But there are other paper conservators in the state as well. So where these are conserved is not as important to us as the fact that they're going to be conserved, and that they're going to be conserved by people who have the proper credentials to do that work.
You're allowing the public to make these decisions. Is that a great idea?
I think it's a fabulous idea. And the reason I think it's a great idea is whatever we can do to get the public more engaged in our history and also in caring for these materials, I think is a wonderful program. And that's why we started this initiative. We really want the public to be involved and be engaged and to have some friendly competition.
But if something comes in, I don't know, at number 17, and you clearly see that this is of significance, presumably that, you know, moves will be made to conserve things that the public don't necessarily choose.
Well, that is really our mission, and we're always trying to find funding for other institutions to be able to conserve their artifacts. In fact, we have a director of development that helps institutions in writing grants for just that kind of thing. So we're hoping that we're going to identify lots of artifacts, and if they don't make the top 10, that doesn't mean that they've been abandoned or forgotten.
So very quickly, give me, if you would, the difference between restoration and conservation, because you were very kind enough to let me have a tour here, and it became very obvious to me that you're not trying to put things back to the way they were. You're merely trying to repair them.
Restoration really is trying to, as you mentioned, restore something to what it would have looked like when it was first created. And conservation is more about stabilizing an object for future generations and not erasing earmarks of the past. We like objects to sort of retain that patina, as you will, so that when you look at something, you realize that it wasn't created yesterday, that this is something that's been handled, that's been used, and it shows some of that aging.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.